This patient has small cell bronchogenic carcinoma causing ectopic ACTH production and in turn paraneoplastic Cushing syndrome. The description's not difficult, just central obesity, violaceous striae in a smoker, okay? But then you have the seemingly what the fuck variable of the low potassium here. So you just need to know that low potassium can be seen in Cushing syndrome, okay? This isn't, don't go fishing other diagnoses such as Kahn syndrome, which is increased aldosterone. You can get low serum potassium in Cushing syndrome due to distal renal excretion. Now, trying to make this as concise as possible, you need to know that normally potassium is secreted distally in the kidney in the cortical collecting duct by aldosterone, okay? That's mineralocorticoid. But glucocorticoids, whether exogenous, such as prednisone, dexamethasone, fludrocortisone, okay, or endogenous cortisol, glucocorticoids do have a fractional mineralocorticoid effect at the kidney, okay? And they have different degrees of mineralocorticoid effect. So, for example, if you give fludrocortisone, which is the glucocorticoid treatment for Addison disease, where we have primary adrenal insufficiency and decreased aldosterone and cortisol, fludrocortisone is a glucocorticoid with such a potent mineralocorticoid effect that it literally functions as aldosterone and can actually function to secrete potassium distally in the kidney. On the other end of the spectrum, glucocorticoids such as prednisone, dexamethasone, hydrocortisone, very weak mineralocorticoid effect, okay? But they do, they still have that fractional effect. And so if you were to be giving someone exogenous glucocorticoids such as prednisone, let's say for 15 years for rheumatoid arthritis or IBD or lupus, then that patient could theoretically have a low serum potassium in addition to being Cushingoid, okay? And same deal for endogenous secretion of cortisol, okay? So even though glucocorticoid, chronically elevated cortisol levels can cause distal renal excretion of potassium, similar to aldosterone. That's your take home here. It's just if you see a low serum potassium in the setting of Cushing on the USMLE, don't go fishing other diagnoses and be like, like does this patient have like, just know that it's part of Cushing's, okay? It's nothing weird. Answer choice A, the wrong answer, cellular exchange. That would be correct in explaining electrolyte disturbance in DKA, okay? You can get high serum potassium because protons go into the cell, potassium's kicked out, okay? So that would be an answer for DKA, like why do you have high potassium? Kahn syndrome, wrong answer. That's high serum, that's a an aldosterone secreting tumor from the adrenal cortex, and that's you're going to get a low serum potassium, high serum sodium, high serum bicarb, high pH. Those are classic derangements. A lot we can chat about on that front, but that's not our answer here. Dilutional effect, choice C, just a distractor. That could explain why you have low serum sodium in the setting of DKA. You get glucose, high glucose level in the blood, and that can cause an osmotic effect, pulling a lot of water into the vascular spaces and diluting out your sodium, in addition to effects in the proximal convoluted tubule where you're reabsorbing a lot of fluid. Okay, so dilutional effect could be the answer there, but not in this case. And then insulin resistance, just another distractor, in the setting of Cushing's and not knowing what's going on here. If anything, if insulin's not doing its job, either a deficiency of insulin or just you have insulin resistance, your potassium could go up rather than down because we need insulin to drive our potassium into cells. So, bottom line here, just know that in the setting of Cushing's, you can get low serum potassium. That's it.